You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Welcome to everyone. My name is Ben and I'm the pastor here. And I really want to say thank you so much for making time to join us on this special occasion. It is so great to see you all. And it means the world to us that you would take time aside to come and enjoy Christmas with us. Can I also extend an invitation to say that immediately after the service here, outside, adjacent to the building, we've got Christmas lunch, and we would love for you to stay back. If you are free, if you have no plans, we would love for you to stay back and enjoy Christmas lunch with us. There'll be plenty of food, plenty of activities for the little ones. We've got a bouncy castle, we've got some decoration competition, face painting, and I have been told there's a little helper with a man in red suit with gifts for all the little children. So if you are under the age of 12, if you can show us your ID card, then there's a gift for you, all right? And so, you know, it will be our guests, it will be our joy for you to stay back and enjoy Christmas lunch with us immediately after the service. Well, friends, you know, when we think of Christmas, what's the first thing that comes to mind? You know, when someone asks you, what is Christmas to you? What's the very first thing that comes to mind? For some of us, it's Christmas parties or Mariah Carey, or it's the extra kilo that we need to work off the weeks after Christmas. Or for us, it's summer holidays. Because in Australia, when it's Christmas, it's going to be hot. It's the holidays. Or maybe it's the chaos at the shopping center, right? Or presents that we have to buy. Well, at the root of Christmas, it's about a Jewish baby born some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. That's the meaning of Christmas. That someone came into this world 2,000 years ago, and this individual, Jesus, changed the course of history. Everything has changed ever since that first Christmas. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, you must admit that society have changed. For example, we are celebrating this day, the 25th of December, Christmas Day. It is a public holiday. We get to come here and sing song about Jesus because he came and society have changed. Our timeline has changed. Before Christmas, that first Christmas, it was BC, which is before Christ. And after that first Christmas, time reset. And it's now AD, Anno Domini, which means in the year of the Lord. AD. History has changed, but surely there must be more to that. So what I want to do with the time that I have is I want to look into Scripture and see what really changed, what really happened on that very first Christmas. So I want to read from Luke's account. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2, or we've got the passage on the screen behind me. Let me read Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 to 14. This is Luke's account of the very first Christmas. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they, the shepherds, were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David," and that's Bethlehem, "a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, that is the Christ, the Lord." And verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. A picture with me, friends. The shepherds doing their thing. The Bible tells us they're keeping watch over their flocks. It is night. It is dark. It is silent. Just like the carols we just sung with the children. The only sound in that night would be the sound of wood crackling as their campfire lit. Nothing out of the ordinary, just an average, normal night in the office for these shepherds. Verse 9 tells us an angel out of nowhere appeared and they were terrified. Now let's be honest here. If you've been camping before by yourself, out in the middle of nowhere, late at night, and you've watched Wolf Creek, anyone coming from behind you, jumping out middle of nowhere, I'm pretty sure the fright of our life, amen? And they are terrified. The text also tells us the glory of the Lord shone bright around these shepherds. That's why I love that carol, Silent Night, because it talks about this particular event. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. And then suddenly, all is bright. You see, that brightness is the glory of God surrounding these shepherds in his fullness. They are afraid. They've never seen this before. And then verse 10 and 11, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you something great that will cause great joy, not for you, but for all people. Great joy for all people. Today in the town of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah. He is the Lord." And there are two things that we can learn from the text. Here's the first thing. That there is great joy. There is joy because God came to save. That's the first thing we see in the text. Let me show you where I got that from. The shepherds are doing what? They're sitting in silence. Is that right? They are sitting in darkness. See, that's a picture. That is a picture of humanity, you and me, sitting in a state of hopelessness, waiting for judgment. If I were to ask you, what is our greatest fear, our greatest danger, our greatest threat, what would you think? Most people will say, maybe it's relationship breakdown. That's a fear. That's a threat. Maybe it's my career, the instability of finances. Yeah, that could be a danger. That could be a threat. Maybe it's health concern. That's a danger. Or my children's future. Or maybe a shark attack whilst I'm swimming out at Cottesloe Beach. They're all threats. They're all dangers. They're all fears. But they are not the greatest threat for humanity. It's not the greatest. The greatest threat for you and for me is the judgment of God. That is the greatest threat for humanity. So nothing to do with our finances or our future or our family, but the fact that God will judge us. And on that first Christmas, already the theology behind Luke is that on that first Christmas, when the shepherds are sitting in this silence, in this darkness, in this state of hopelessness, the glory of God would break into the brokenness of humanity to provide us a way out of that judgment. That is the meaning behind Christmas. That God, in his love, did not wait for us to get out of our state of hopelessness, but God in his love would break into our hopelessness, into our darkness, into our silence, to give us a way out of the greatest danger, which is his judgment. He came to save us. That's why the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He didn't come to judge. He didn't come to condemn. Don't be afraid. He came to bring what? Great joy, because a Savior is born today. Joy is only great when one is saved from the grip of great danger. That brings joy. The angel said a Savior has been born. A Savior means that we need saving. It means that Jesus came to save us from our brokenness. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from the danger of judgment. That's why there is great joy. That's why Christmas is a great day, because God came to save us. You know, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, he wrote this down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10, he says, Jesus, who rescues, he delivers, he saves us from the coming judgment. He came to save. You know, I read an illustration during the week which might help drive this point home. Imagine me, Bin, I'm lining up in a very long line at the bank. All right, and you came along and you grabbed my arm and you dragged me away from my line. Now, I've been waiting this line for a long, long time, right? Now, I'm not happy with you, right? Because you don't grab me and pull me out of my line. I'm at the bank. I need to do some transaction. There's a very good chance I'll look at you and say, hey, mate, what's going on? You're out of your mind? What are you doing? And if you replied by saying, hey, I'm saving you from the bank. Now, to my surprise, you know, that's pretty strange. You know, I might reply to you by saying, well, you know, it's very nice of you, but I don't need saving from the bank. I'm not in danger. In fact, you tore my shirt, you hurt my arm, you took me out of my place in line. You're crazy. Obviously, I'm not grateful for your action. Is that right? But suppose I was in the bank, in line, and the terrorists came. And now there's a hostage situation. And you came along. And you rushed in. You grabbed my arm and you pulled me out from the danger of the terrorists. Seriously, I wouldn't care less if you tore my shirt. I wouldn't care less if you dislocated my elbow. I wouldn't care less if I lost my place in line. Why? What's the difference between the two scenarios? The first scenario, I didn't see the danger at hand. The second scenario, I saw the danger, and unless you came to rescue me, I'll be doomed. Is that right? See, Christmas is only meaningful if we see without the coming of God, we are still facing the danger of God's judgment. That unless he came, we are still object of his wrath. But if we know he came to save us, it brings great joy. Amen. A joy that we would sing and we would worship. A joy worth sharing about. That's why the Apostle Paul, he writes in Ephesians 2. He says this, like the rest, he's talked to all people, we were by nature deserving the judgment or the wrath of God. But because of his great love for us, God's love for you and for me, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgression, dead in our sin. And it is by grace we have been saved. Christmas brings joy because God came to save us. He came to save us in our state of hopelessness, to save us for the judgment that is at hand. That's why it's joyful. Amen? Here's the second thing here, is that it is joyful. It is great joy because the good news is actually true. It is true. Imagine the poor shepherds, right? Imagine the poor shepherds heard from the angel, okay, this Savior is born in Bethlehem. And they made the trek there. They went there. They walked there. And they got to Bethlehem. And on upon arrival, no Jesus. No Messiah. No Savior. How would they feel? See, good news is only good if it's true. Is that right? I mean, if it's not true, then it's not good news. If you told me there's a car waiting outside with a nice red bow and it's mine, my name on it, and it's like my Christmas gift from you, and I asked you, are you sure? Is it really true? Is there really a car outside the building for me? And you say, yeah, nah. You would see a grown man swing from a state of ecstasy to a state of agony like that, because it would break my heart, because it's not true, right? You see, good news is only good if it's true. And if it's not true, right? If it's not true, then I guess a lot of Christian, we've wasted our time. Yeah? If it's not true, I've wasted my time doing what I do. You waste your time serving a God who's not true. But friends, if the good news is true, then we all have to respond to it. We either accept it or we reject it. If it's true. Does that make sense? If what we see in Scripture is true, then every one of us have to respond to it. We can either accept it, take it on board, or say, I don't want anything to do with it, if it's true. And don't listen to the preacher, because the preacher will always tell you it's true. I'll tell you it's true. Don't listen to the preacher. Don't even listen to your feelings. Oh, I feel that's true. I think it's true. I want that. Don't trust your feelings. They say love is blind, right? Sometimes I question, why is that girl dating that guy? Because he makes me feel so good. It's so nice. I don't trust your feelings. Trust your parents, right? Trust your pastor, right? Then who do you trust? If I'm not going to trust my feelings, if I don't trust the preacher, then who do I trust? How do I know this is true? You trust Scripture. You trust what is more authoritative than yourself and people. You trust the Word of God. You trust Scripture. Let me prove it to you. You see, in Matthew's account, Matthew also recorded the first Christmas. And this is what he said. Go with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. When King Herod heard this, that's the birth of Jesus, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was born. They said, in Bethlehem, in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You see what's going on there? Let me just try to teach you something here. At that time, there was a king. He was very, very jealous because he heard of this baby, Jesus, being born, who will be the king of the Jews. And so King Herod said, I don't want this. I want to find this baby. I want to destroy this baby. So he gathered all the chief priests and the teacher of the law and says, tell me, where is this baby Jesus? And the Bible tells us that these chief priests and teachers of the law said, you find the baby in Bethlehem. How did they know? They quoted a prophecy from Micah, who made the prophecy 700 years prior. You see, verse 6 in the yellow is a prophecy from the prophet Micah 700 years prior to the first Christmas. They say, you can find him in Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but if anyone made a prophecy 700 years ago and came, I would probably want to listen to what they have to say. You know, if I said to you at the start of the year, the Australian Socceroos, at the start of the year, I said to you, the Aussie team playing in the World Cup will get into the round of 16 with a group of with a group of B graders, would you believe that person? Hands up, who would believe that person? See there, my point, no one. And who watched the Socceroos? Did we get to the next round? Yes, we got to the round of 16. It was a miracle. I don't know what happened. I don't know how much we paid them, but we got to the next round, right? But here's my point. If someone made that claim at the start of the year and it came true, surely you want to listen to that person the next time. Is that right? Well, you know, Micah, the prophet Micah, who made the prophecy 700 years prior, wasn't the only prophet. 100 years before him was another prophet by the name of Isaiah. So 800 years before the first Christmas, this is what Isaiah prophesies. In Isaiah 9:6, he says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Scripture tells us that the good news is true. The prophets prophesied this hundreds of years in the past, and it came to fruition. For Christians, for me, we need to learn to set aside our feelings and look at what the Word of God is saying. Look at what His authority is saying, that He came to save us. And if Scripture says it's true, then I say it's true. Even if I don't believe it. Because I am not going to let my feelings dictate on the truth of God's Word. Amen? And if God's Word says the gospel is true, that I'm going to hold onto the truth. Here's the reason why. We live in a culture where people say, you believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. You believe in Jesus? Good on you. What is good for you is good for you. What's good for me is good for me. You do you, I do me. You know? That type of thinking is really saying, you believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. And it's all self. It's all the individual's faith. But I'd rather look beyond that and look at Scripture. Look at the Word of God. And if God tells me it's true, I say it's true. If the promise of God tells me something that doesn't align, I'm still going to hold it to the promises of God. If the promise of God says that I'm saved and I feel that I'm not saved, I'm going to hold it to the promises of God that I'm saved. If God says that I'm loved and I feel that my sin don't make me feel loved, I'm going to hold to the promises of God that I'm loved. If the Word of God says that I'm forgiven and I feel that I'm not forgiven, I'm going to hold to the promises of God that I'm forgiven. If the Word of God says that He came to save me in my hopelessness, then I'm going to believe He came to save me in my hopelessness. And if it's true, then there's great joy. If it's true, the message is worth sharing. If it's true, then I'm going to believe that He came on that first Christmas in my hopelessness to love me, to save me, to redeem me, to give Himself to me. And for that reason, it is great joy. Amen. For that reason, I rejoice. They're my 2 points. It's great joy because God came to save us. It is great joy because the gospel is true. And for that reason, we rejoice. And for that reason, we say, thank you, Jesus, for coming. And that is the meaning of Christmas. That is why he came. And my prayer as the pastor of this church here is to hope that you will continue to explore the love of God for you. Wherever you are on that journey, I just pray that you keep exploring his love, because he loves you a lot. He does. He came with a purpose to live a life that we could not live, to die the death that we ought to die, so that we would be ransomed, that we would belong with the Father. And the greatest threat, the judgment of God, is no longer there. For the Bible says there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. There is no judgment for those in Christ Jesus. When you place your faith in this baby Jesus, born some 2,000 years ago, we escape the greatest threat of humanity, which is the condemnation and judgment of God. Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you sent Jesus for us. Thank you so much that you came to save us. Thank you so much that what is written in Scripture is true, and we hold it to the truth of your word. That for anyone who placed their trust in Jesus, anyone who believes in Jesus, we are saved, and we are so grateful. And for that reason, we rejoice, and for that reason, this is a wonderful occasion. So we celebrate the birth of our Savior, who came to save us in our state of hopelessness. God, we love you so much. God, we thank you. Thank you so much. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.